my sermon. It's in the bin. It's only one thing to do. I shall have to preach you a different sermon. It's going to be about stealing, John. Going to be about thieves. I wonder if any of you, watch out, there's a thief about. Have any of you ever had anything stolen from you? Anybody ever had anything that was stolen? Somebody took something from you. You can tell me, I don't want you to tell me who it was, but I do want you to tell me what it was that was taken from you. What was, there we go. What was stolen?
My toy.
A toy?
Yes.
A toy was stolen from you. And how did you feel about it? How did you feel when that was taken from
you? Upset.
You felt upset. Do you know that? Let's have one more example. Something else. So a toy that was, I wonder if it was stolen or maybe it was taken and it came back. But there we go. And what did you have stolen?
A coat.
A coat. And how did you feel?
Okay.
You felt okay. It wasn't much of a coat anyway. You didn't really like it very much. Okay, so there are two different reactions to having something. So in one case, it was, oh, well, that's life, never mind. And the other reaction was, I was upset. Well, I want to tell you about an occasion when Ange and I were really upset. We're going to see a picture now, and it's a nasty picture in many ways. And it kind of reflects something that happened to us just before Christmas last year. We were shopping in the supermarket, and a thief, some of you know this already, came and snatched Ange's handbag. Ran off with it, and I couldn't catch them, and they disappeared, and it was gone, and it was really awkward because it was just before Christmas, and there were credit cards, and there was a phone, and there was lots of personal stuff in there, and that was awkward. But I tell you, it wasn't really any of that. It wasn't any of that. It was just the personal thing that somebody had snatched a handbag. It was like a real attack on Ange. As an individual, it was really an upsetting thing. And it is when somebody steals from you. We're going to think this morning about a thief that's worse than any of the thieves we've considered so far. We've thought about seagulls, haven't we? And we've thought about other types of stealing. But the worst, perhaps one of the worst thieves we could think about. And I'm going to give you some clues. Who am I, it says, up on the screen. Here are the clues. And I want you to think back to the video. Think back to the DVD. I steal hope. I steal the future. I steal children's education. I steal the fun from life. I steal people's lives. In other words, people can sometimes die because of what this thief takes from them. Now think back to the video and think back particularly to Sylvia in the video. What was the problem that she and her family were facing, and you might be able to tell me the thief's name. The name of the thief. What was the problem that Sylvia and her family were facing? It was making her very, very sad. Yes.
Starvation and hunger.
Hunger. Brilliant. Excellent. There we go. Well done. Somebody up here answered, and I didn't give them a chocolate bar just now. Who was that? Yeah, it was you. There we go. Have a chocolate bar. There we go. Excellent. Another one of those. Yeah, don't eat them all at once. Okay, so it's hunger. There we go. Hunger is the terrible thief. The name of our thief this morning is hunger. He steals hope. He steals the future. Now, I want you to see what this means this morning, because Tear Fund tell us this, that one person in nine, if you take all the people in the world, one person in nine is really, I don't mean just a bit hungry, really hungry. They haven't got enough food. They could almost be starving to death, but they're really desperately hungry. So if I point you and give you a number, I want you to stand up. Is that okay? Right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. If I've given you a number, if you stand up, that's it. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. Okay, there we go. That is one person in nine. Those people who have stood up, you are 1/9 of the congregation this morning. Don't ask me how I worked that out, but there we go. You are what you're representing, one person in nine in our congregation. I want you to think for a moment. Imagine how awful it would be if Guy were preaching every Sunday and there was no chocolate. Just think of that. But this is far worse than that. Imagine that you were going home. Those of you who stood up, the 27 people stood up. Imagine you were going home and there was going to be no lunch, no Sunday lunch. And you weren't able to come to Jenny's lunch afterwards, to our harvest lunch. There's just no food. Or imagine that this evening, there's no dinner. There's nothing to eat. And maybe tomorrow morning, if you're lucky, and particularly those of you who are going to go to school, you might get a little bit, some sort of weak sort of porridge or something like that, just before you go to school, and that's it. Okay, thank you. If you sit down. Think of how that would affect you. Just think for a moment. You'd get thinner, wouldn't you? Very quickly, you'd get a lot thinner. You'd feel hungry. Do you know, you'd get very weak. You wouldn't be able to play. You wouldn't be able to have fun. Hunger would ultimately steal everything from you. You wouldn't be able to go to school and to study. And that is exactly what's happening to many people in the world. Hunger is stealing their future. We had the story of Sylvia. We're going to see her again now. Let's see Sylvia. There she is. This was Sylvia, whose husband had left her because things were so bad and she didn't have enough food. And this is what Sylvia said on the video. Let's see it now. She said, "One thing that scares us most is how to take care of the children when there isn't enough food." Mums and dads here this morning, just think about that. Imagine if you were in a situation where you literally didn't have food to put on the table. And it's not just an imagination, is it? It happens even to people in this country. We know folks who are really very dependent on food banks in order to help them, who don't have enough to eat. But imagine that that was the case. You didn't know literally where the next meal was coming from for your family. And then she said, "All we can think about is surviving." That's what it's like. If you're really hungry, you just have to live from day to day. You can only think about surviving and about nothing else. Just one bag of maize. That was all. Just one bag of maize was all that Sylvia and her family got from their land. And it wasn't enough. And it was because the land was very dry. It's because of global warming that this is happening to Malawi. Because they're not getting the rain that they used to get. And so areas that used to be really good are now awfully dry like that. And they don't grow crops like they used to. Now, Tear Fund, we've been hearing a lot about them this morning. They wanted to help. They're a brilliant organization. They want to show the love of Jesus, but they want to show that love in a practical way and to help. But how could they help? Because they couldn't make it rain, could they? They can't reverse global warming, sadly. That's going to take a long time. They can't make it rain more in Malawi, but they have come up with a brilliant way to help. And they've helped a lady, we saw her on the video as well, called Polly. So we're going to think this morning about what I've called Polly's secret. Let's have a look at that. Polly, let's see, there she is, hard at work in her fields. And do you notice that there are crops? Even though it's dry, there are crops. So we need to think about Polly's secret. Let's see some of the things here about Polly. She's had 2 years of really, really good harvests. That's wonderful. And because they've had harvest, there's enough to feed the family and there's food left over. So we can see food for herself and her family. And the next bit, there's food to sell. And because she's been able to sell the food, she's bought farm animals. We saw them on the DVD. Lots of farm, and those farm animals are producing eggs and producing butter and producing milk, and suddenly their lives are changing. And we saw Polly on her bicycle, didn't we? She's going to get water on her bicycle, and she's got plans. Do you see now she's got a future? She's got plans to buy a sewing machine and a motorbike. She's going to have a motorbike to be able to travel around and set up her own business. Now then, I wonder what Polly's secret is. Well, it's an amazing secret, folks. Polly has been on a course. She's been, now that's a surprise for all of you, isn't it? All those of you who are at work, think of the courses you've been on. I'm in education. I've been on loads of courses, and most of them, I have to tell you, were pretty terrible. Probably the best thing about them, was the lunch, really, honestly. I've been on some courses that have been good. I have been on some that have been good. But I can tell you this, honestly, I've never been on any educational courses at work that have changed my life. Never. And I suspect that you might also feel the same about courses that you've been on at work. But Polly's been on a course, and it's changed her life. It's called Foundations for Farming. And it was a course at the local church. Let me show you what it involved. Do you know what they said to Polly? They said, get rid of the spade. Get rid of your spade. Stop digging. That seems amazing, doesn't it? Stop. Because do you see what happens when you dig the ground too deep and the sun shines down on it? It makes the ground very dry and it goes sort of dusty and it won't grow anything. And then they said, get some mulch. Did you see them laying stuff on the ground? Here's some mulch. So we'll spread a bit of this around on the church floor. Here we go. Get some mulch. And have a fork instead of a, yeah, it really is on the floor. And here we go. We spread this mulch round. And do you know what that does? It traps the moisture. It keeps underneath. When the sun shines, it shines onto that mulch. It doesn't get down to the soil. And it traps the moisture. And it saves it. And it means that you can grow a crop even in dry time. It's a brilliant system. It's making a massive difference. Look at what Polly says. She said this on the DVD. I was filled with joy because I could see things were going to change. Because she went on a course run at her local church, organized by Tear Fund. And then she said, God is using his church to change lives. Now, isn't that a great story? Isn't that really encouraging this morning? Well, it is, but I want to tell you this. It's not enough. It's not enough. And you might well say to me, Paul, that's a dreadful thing to stand up there and say. Tear Fund are working so hard. People are giving money, and they're helping, and they've changed people's lives. And you stand up there and say it's not enough. But, you know, Tear Fund would say that to you as well. They'd say to you, it's not enough. It's not enough because you and I, we're not just like animals, just with a body. We've got a mind as well. Your mind is really important, and your mind needs food. God has given you a mind. He's given you the ability to think. He's given you so much more than that. We're going to see a picture of some of the children from Polly's village. There they are. They're dancing for joy. And it could be because they've got food, but it isn't. It's because they're now able to do something that they couldn't do before. Do you know why? They are dancing for joy because they're going to go to school. That's really what they're doing. They're going to be getting food for their minds. I wonder on the 7th of September, Thursday the 7th of September, which I think was the first day of term for most schools around here, was there any dancing? In your house, were you dancing for joy? Hooray! The summer holidays are over. I'm going back to school. I'm so happy. I tell you what, Mum and Dad, they may not have danced for joy, but they felt like it on the inside. They could have danced for joy, really. But you see, so often, we don't appreciate the stuff we've got. We talked about the good things that God gives us. An education is a good thing. It's a really good thing because it's feeding your mind. And Polly's husband, did you notice? I felt really related to this because he's training as a teacher. There he was. He's not on my course, but he's training as a teacher. So that was great. So there we go. Your mind, it's not enough to feed your body. Your mind needs food. But this is the most important point. Your spirit, the bit of you that is going to last forever. Your spirit needs food and water. This is the most important thing that the Bible has to tell us. Jesus says this. Look at what Jesus said. Man, he meant men and women and boys and girls, shall not live by bread alone. In other words, all this lovely food here, Jesus says, it's not enough. Man shan't live by bread or tins of beans or whatever it is alone, but by every word which comes from the mouth of God. Do you know, we live in a country where most people, and I know that there are exceptions, I understand that, but most people are well fed. Most of us are going to have a good lunch. We have a wonderful lunch if we're here. And we're going to have food to eat during this week. But there are a lot of people who've got plenty to eat, and they've got good clothes, and they've got a job, and they've got a house, but they still feel empty on the inside. I wonder if there's anybody like that here this morning. You've got lots of good stuff in your life, but it's not enough. You've heard God's word here in church many times before, but the birds have been at work, and they've sort of taken it away. It hasn't made a difference. Or maybe your life is a bit like the picture we're going to see now. It's full of weeds. There's so much stuff in your life that there isn't any room for Jesus. There isn't any room for God. And if that's true, that's very sad. Don't let the devil steal. We've been talking about thieves this morning. Don't let the devil steal your spiritual future. Because Jesus says this. He says, I am the living bread. He says, I am the living water. Do you know, when some people heard Jesus say that, they got very cross. Some people heard Jesus say that and they got very cross. They said, what on earth are you talking about? What's he saying? Is he saying we could eat him? That's what they said. They laughed about it, some of them. They jeered and they mocked. But Jesus wasn't talking about physical eating. He was telling us that we've been made. You and I and every man and woman, we've been made to know and enjoy God, but we've been separated from him. Separated from our sin. Jesus is the only one who can put things right for us. He's the only one who can deal with the question of our sin, can satisfy our spirit, can give us a purpose that's never going to end. Without Jesus, spiritual hunger is going to steal our future and it's going to steal our ultimate purpose. This is what Jesus said. With this we close. This is what Jesus said about thieves. He says, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and you might have it to the full. So it's important to hold on to the word of God. Important to hold on to Jesus. Don't let anybody take God's word or the opportunity to know Jesus away from you. As we come to a close, here's the takeaway. It's really important that we don't come to a service like this and just, when we go out the door, we forget all about it. So here's the takeaway, very quickly. Am I truly thankful for all of God's gifts? Something for us to ask ourselves. Secondly, Tier Fund needs your help. £10 will provide farming training for a whole family. What's that? 4 cups of coffee, according to the price we paid at the National Trust yesterday. £10 will provide farming training for a whole family. Am I making the most of the gifts that God has given, including my mind, all the good things that God's given me? Do I want to really live my life to the full and live it for him? Is Jesus shut out of my life because I'm so busy? And finally, am I feeding on Jesus, who is the living bread?